Welcome back to Consider This. I'm Lisa Idris, with me, Sharad Kutin. Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin announced his new cabinet today, just a week after he was sworn in as 8th Prime Minister. Joining us on the line to share her thoughts on the lineup is Bridget Welsh, Honorary Research Associate of the Asia Research Institute at University of Nottingham, Malaysia. Bridget, good evening. Thank you for joining us. Do you think, Bridget, this lineup will be able to satisfy Muhyiddin's parliamentary base, meaning, of course, UMNO and PAS MPs, especially given that the leaders of these two parties were not included in the cabinet?
I think at this point, I think it has a good promise of actually being able to accommodate those, because it represents different factions within those parties, and it's seen as not coming with as much baggage as people expected. In fact, many people are willing to give Muhyiddin in this cabinet a sense of goodwill because he did not include some of the more senior members, both of UMNO and PAS, that would have been more baggage for him to be able to have to carry.
Bridget, do you think Muhyiddin in some ways was kind of trapped? I mean, on one hand, he needs to establish international credibility. He could not associate himself with a previous administration or political parties that are seen as tainted by allegations of corruption. At the same time, he does need to satisfy that parliamentary base. And there have been, voices from UMNO leaders saying, despite, you know, Zahid Hamidi's protestations about not wanting a position, that he should be given one. It would be unbecoming and unfair for him to be left out?
Well, I think they're clearly going to be grumbling, especially with an UMNO. I think not every party within the factions within the party have been satisfied. And I think you're also correct that this is a cabinet of accommodation. We've seen it's a much larger cabinet. This number of parliamentary ministers have moved from 25 to 31, but deputy ministers have moved from 23 to 28. So it is about trying to build that base. And I think, you know, there is going to be not only a tension for who was not included in the cabinet, but there's also a tension in how the cabinet is going to work together, because it has a new type of structure with these four ministers that are supposed to be senior, but at the same juncture, this is something that Malaysia is not used to. And so the issue of power sharing within the cabinet, I think, is going to be a challenge.
Do you think observers like yourself, Bridget, are going to be looking at the potential instability within the lineup, or looking at that aspect of it? If you remember Tun Dr. Mahathir at the end of, I think, the first year of Pakatan Harapan, saying that he was quite pleased that his government was still intact. Do you think Muhyiddin Yassin is going to have that same problem at the end of this year?
I think he's going to have challenges to manage the different parties within his coalition. I think this cabinet shows how much he's had to accommodate the different factions. But I think there's some very interesting features of this cabinet, I think, that need to be raised. We have two non-politicians who've been brought in that try to sort of appeal his build Muhyiddin's legitimacy within larger sections outside of the traditional political arena. So, of course, the new finance minister, Zafal Tungku Abdulaziz, which is reaching out to the private sector, and, of course, also the FD Mufti, Zulkifli Ahmad al-Bakri. And I think he's going to be it's interesting because many of the religious members of this cabinet have strong TV followings and also represent parts of the religious establishment. So I think that's a very interesting aspect of this cabinet. I think also, one of the big issues that's going to be raised is how inclusive it is, or how this is the first time there's only one Chinese minister, a full minister in cabinet, the four deputy ministers, but most of the time deputy ministers don't have the same powers. So in this case, I think this is going to send sort of repercussions on issues of questions of inclusion. And, of course, the issue as well is now that PAS is at the government, who are these people? And one of them is a lawyer, two of them are ustas. Both of the ustas have very wide TV following, but at the same time, a couple of them, one in particular, is seen as having much more confrontational views from Kuala Nurus, YB Khairuddin.
Yeah, and it's quite interesting that you brought those things up, Bridget, the idea of an inclusive cabinet. And I'm just wondering, Muhyiddin has mentioned a functional cabinet. Some media are trying to frame this as a technocratic cabinet. Now, do you think this narrative is persuasive?
Well, one person doesn't make a technocratic cabinet. I think that there are, you know, this is a cabinet with a lot of experience. I mean, more than half of the cabinet have been ministers in the previous last two governments, and many of them there are many capable administrators. But some of the cabinet are also some of the weakest performers in previous governments, in particular the most recent one. So I think this is there are sort of mixed aspects in terms of administration. I think also that, you know, a technocratic government is also someone that has very clear powers. And one of the issues in terms of economic policy making in the previous government was that there were many different cooks cooking at the same time. And right now you have a technocratic person who's been brought in from the private sector as the Ministry of Finance, but there are also other very powerful players that are actually pool of politicians that also in other spheres of economic policy. So how they're going to coordinate is going to be very interesting, and I think also somewhat challenging because of the way the new structure has been set up around the senior minister position.
Bridget, some concerns, some segments of Malaysia society very concerned about the reform agenda that the Pakatan Harapan had brought to the kind of center stage of Malaysian life. In the speech today, the Prime Minister did not mention reform. He spoke about economic challenges and delivering for the people on that score. Do you think that this is a government that's not going to be necessarily committed to institutional reform, the kinds of things that, in fact, have created some of the bottlenecks in Malaysian society?
Well, I think it's pretty clear at this juncture that the missing words of reform do send messages and do not instill confidence that there is a sense of wanting to shift and change some of the fundamental institutions and practices. And I think many of the indicators of the individuals involved show capable hands, but not necessarily hands that represent a kind of alternative visions or alternative ideas or more fundamentally wanting to shift and change a system. And while many of the individuals, rightly so, do not have ongoing corruption cases against them, many of them have had charges associated with issues of integrity and allegations that really that also create a cloud over this current cabinet.
And Bridget, lastly, what do you think is the international reception to Muhyiddin Yassin's administration and this government? Do you think it's going to be positive? We had word that the U.S. was not going to send money coming from the 1MDB case back to Malaysia. What do you think is going to be the international repercussions?
I think that overseas, people want Malaysia to do well. I think they're looking to the individuals to see how they can perform. There is a sense of the recognition of the economic crisis and the issues of the coronavirus are significant. So I think there's considerable goodwill. At the same time, I think there's a lot more watchfulness over this cabinet than there has been in the past. And so the expectations will be that there should be some sort of movement and moving forward in terms of the sense of the direction of the country. And I think there are concerns about the issues of reform and whether or not those will be sustained. And at this point, this has been a very mixed signal in that latter issue.
All right, Bridget, thank you so much for joining us this evening. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be back with more on Consider This. Stay tuned.